Abigail Campano sat in her car parked on the street outside her own house. She was looking up at the mansion they had remodeled almost 10 years ago. The house was huge, too much space for three people, especially since one of them, God willing, would be going off to college in less than a year. What would she do with herself once her daughter was busy starting a new life of her own? It would be Abigail and Paul again, just like before Emma was born. The thought made her stomach clench. Paul's voice crackled through the car speakers as he came back on the telephone.
"Babe, listen," he began,
but her mind was already wandering as she stared up at the house. When had her life gotten so small? When had the most pressing questions of her day turned into concerns about other people, other things? Were Paul's shirts ready at the tailor? Did Emma have volleyball practice tonight? Did the decorator order the new desk for the office? Did somebody remember to let out the dog, or was she going to spend the next 20 minutes wiping up 2 gallons of pee off the kitchen floor? Abigail swallowed, her throat tightening.
"I don't think you're listening to me," Paul said.
"I'm listening." She turned off the car. There was a click. Then, through the magic of technology, Paul's voice transferred from the car speakers to the cell phone. Abigail pushed open the door, tossing her keys into her purse. She cradled the phone to her ear as she checked the mailbox. Electric bill, Amex, Emma's school fees. Paul paused for a breath, and she took that as her cue. "If she doesn't mean anything to you, why did you give her a car? Why did you take her to a place where you knew my friends might show up?" Abigail said the words as she walked up the driveway, but she didn't feel them deep in her gut like she had the first few times this had happened. Her only question then had been, "Why am I not enough?" Now her only question was, "Why are you such a needy bastard?"
"I just needed a break," he told her, another old standard.
She dug her hand into her purse for her keys as she climbed the porch stairs. She had left the club because of him, skipped her weekly massage and lunch with her closest friends because she was mortified that they had all seen Paul out with some bottle blonde 20-year-old he'd had the gall to take to their favorite restaurant. She didn't know if she would ever be able to show her face there again. Abigail said, "I'd like a break too, Paul. How would you like it if I took a break? How would you like it if you were talking to your friends one day and you knew something was going on and you had to practically beg them to tell you what was wrong before they finally told you that they saw me with another man?"
"I'd find out his fucking name and I'd go to his house and I'd kill him."
Why did part of her always feel flattered when he said things like that? As the mother of a teenage girl, she had trained herself to look for the positive aspects of even the most savage remarks. But this was ridiculous. Besides, Paul's knees were so bad that he could barely take the garbage down to the curb on trash day. The biggest shock in all of this should have been that he could still find a 20-year-old to screw him. Abigail slid her key into the old metal lock on the front door. The hinges squeaked like in a horror movie. The door was already open. "Wait a minute," she said, as if interrupting, though Paul hadn't been talking. "The front door's open."
"What?"
He hadn't been listening to her either. "I said the front door's already open," she repeated, pushing it open wider.
"Aw, Jesus, school's only been back for 3 weeks and she's already skipping again."
"Maybe the cleaners." She stopped, her foot crunching glass. Abigail looked down, feeling a sharp, cold panic building somewhere at the base of her spine. "There's glass all over the floor, I just stepped in it." Paul said something she didn't hear. "Okay," Abigail answered, automatic. She turned around. One of the tall side windows by the front door was broken. Her mind flashed on a hand reaching in, unlatching the bolt, opening the door. She shook her head. In broad daylight? In this neighborhood? They couldn't have more than three people over at a time without the batty old woman across the street calling to complain about the noise.
"Abby?"
She was in some kind of bubble, her hearing muffled. She told her husband, "I think someone broke in."
Paul barked, "Get out of the house. They could still be there."